We are at Bev's in Queensbury. New branding, same great products. Certainly you remember the name Minogue's in the area. This is Bev's, now owned by our guy Jeff Uclick, of course, president of Saratoga Eagle. And the rebrand, the brand new name, brand new look. We'll take you inside it here a little bit with Jeff coming up in a little bit. But it's Chris Honorato. It's Honorato and Miller. We're live every Thursday night on News Channel 13 social media. That's Facebook, YouTube, and X at 6:30. Then you catch us on TV over the weekend on Saturday nights at 6 on my four Sunday mornings at 6 on News Channel 13. So if you're watching us on TV, thanks for finding us. You want to be part of the conversation live on a Thursday night, find us on social media. Ton to get to. So many guests on this week's show. I'm not going to burn too much time before we hit the open. Scotty McCreery, country music superstar, with us this week on the show. He's at Proctor's Theater on Saturday night in Schenectady. We'll talk with him coming up. We'll talk with Will Brown, head coach of the St. Rose women's basketball program, back in the NCAA tournament as a coach for the first time since he was at UAlbany, of course. But this program is back in the tournament for the first time since 2011. We'll talk with Will Brown coming up. The Albany Firewolves are back home. Game day experience is big at the MVP Arena. We'll find out how they pull that off every single week that the NLL team is at home. And again, of course, Jeff Uclick, the owner now here at Bev's, and a look inside this incredible beverage center. Let's go. We've got NFL free agency to get to. I've burned enough time already.
This is Honorato and Miller, sponsored by Alpenhaus.
A lot to do, not a lot of time to do it. Chris Honorato at Bev's in Queensbury. And boy, the NFL free agency, I mean, it was wild. And I almost kind of forget every single year how quickly this stuff snowballs and guys are on new teams. Love it. So much to do. And I want to hit the Giants and the Bills especially. That's where we saw so many big changes. But really, these are the guys that grab the headlines, right? The quarterback's on the move. How about the money and the contract that Kirk Cousins is getting coming off that injury from Minnesota to Atlanta? That NFC South is interesting now. You see at the bottom of your screen there, Baker Mayfield back to Tampa Bay. So those two quarterbacks in the NFC South, young core of talented receivers and running backs for that matter, Bijan Robinson in Atlanta. Does Cousins bring enough stability? Of course, can he get and stay healthy? They'll shop Desmond Ridder now. And so Atlanta becomes an interesting situation. New head coach, new quarterback, young guys like Drake London, and I mentioned Robinson and Kyle Pitts, and what do the Falcons do in the draft? That's an interesting team to watch. But Tampa Bay is a team that won a playoff game a year ago. They do bring back Mike Evans, and now here comes Baker Mayfield. He certainly earned a new contract with Tampa Bay, and he gets it 3 years, $100 million. People will sleep on that division. But again, the team that won the division last year did win a playoff game. Joe Flacco to the Colts, and I kind of looked at it and I said, I thought this guy could be a starter somewhere the way he played with Cleveland, but he'll bring some stability from the backup position, especially if Richardson isn't ready to go immediately, or if he does get banged up again. Flacco is there for Shane Steichen and the Colts. Russell Wilson to the Steelers. What do we think? Can Russ revive things in Pittsburgh? He will push Kenny Pickett. This, to me, I know people say it's an open competition. I think this is Russ's job. It's now his job to lose. Kenny Pickett had the opportunities. He didn't perform to the level that they wanted him to, obviously. And so, to me, that's Russ's job to lose. Steelers also signed Patrick Queen, the linebacker from Baltimore. So the AFC North gets interesting. The Browns have added Jerry Jeudy at the receiver position. Pair him up with Amari Cooper. It's a good-looking core right there. And David Njoku, the tight end. We'll run through this here quickly. Giants in free agency. They trade for Brian Burns and then give him a big, big deal, the pass rusher from Carolina. Devin Singletary Can't replace Saquon Barkley, but Singletary now becomes kind of the workhorse in the backfield for the Giants. John Runyon will try to create some lanes for him blocking up front. I like this one a lot. Drew Lock. Like it a lot. Daniel Jones is coming off an injury. Drew Lock can be a solid backup quarterback since they weren't able to keep Tyrod Taylor. So I like the move to get Lock. Barkley to Philadelphia is probably the most interesting move of the entire offseason so far, right? Guy who says he wanted to be a Giant for life ends up going to the rival across the way to Philadelphia. And a great offensive line. Yes, I know they're losing Jason Kelce. Yes, I know there are other parts of that line that are aging and up there, but that run attack with Hurts and Barkley and the read option, whoa, tough for defenses to figure out. Xavier McKinney leaves the secondary off to Green Bay. The Bills in free agency. Deion Dawkins stays. Mitch Trubisky comes back. And Taylor Rapp comes in. Remember, we talked about what the Bills did in terms of cutting guys like Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer. They need to revamp that secondary a little bit. Taylor Rapp is part of that. And now Buffalo will look for a secondary receiver to Stephon Diggs. Of course, they have Kincaid and Knox, a tight end. But with Gabe Davis going to Jacksonville now, I would certainly look for Buffalo to draft a wide receiver in the first round. Could be Keon Coleman from Florida State. Here's some wide receivers on the move, and maybe there's a guy that's a June 1st cut that Buffalo targets afterwards. Beckham, the Ravens will cut him after June 1st. The Saints will cut Mike Thomas after June 1st. Mike Williams is already out from Los Angeles. He was a Charger. Calvin Ridley leaves Jacksonville to go to Tennessee. I mean, just so much here, right? So much here. But what I've realized is that there are going to be some quality names on the market, I think, for quite a little while. So flurry to start, but there will be guys that hang around a little bit, I think, can bring value to teams beyond this just first week of NFL free agency. Again, we're at the grand opening at Bev's in Queensbury. They cut the ribbon. We'll talk with the owner, Jeff Buchlick. Scotty McCreary, Will Brown, and the Albany Firewolves still on the way. Hang on, everybody. We're back in 30 seconds.
I'm Jeff Buchlick. I'm owner of Bev's, and we're a beverage center in upstate New York. You're just going to have that wow component when you come in, like, wow, look at this place. It's bright. It's clean. It has everything that I need. Consumer is king. Be able to provide them a friendly environment and a place to shop no matter where they are, whether they're down here in Saratoga or whether they're up in Queensbury. You're always going to get the same experience when you shop at Bev's. At the end of the day, if you walk in your stores, you're going to see a lot of people that have a lot of pride.
And now, back to Honorado and Miller, sponsored by Alpen House.
Back on Honorado and Miller, and here we are again inside of Bev's in Queensbury. Grand opening, ribbon cutting on Thursday. Malta is going to do the same on Friday. This is exciting stuff. I know it's been a process for you. We're joined by the owner of Bev's and, of course, Saratoga Eagle as well, Jeff Buchlick, with us. This is exciting stuff, man. The place looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's about time, but it's been a lot of hard work, a lot of great people that helped me get here, and we're happy to be open for business. And you know, we want to know people, you know, what you're drinking. Come on and grab your beverages at Bev's, and you'll have a good time.
And this is a little bit of a new venture for you, not the business side of things, but opening a store like this to the public, it's a whole new look. Was there any trepidation, nerves that you felt before cutting that ribbon, letting people really come in to show it off?
Yeah, you know, this is our first time at retail, so you only know what you know. I mean, I've been selling to retail all my life. Right. I know I've been in retail, but actually being able to run a business in retail, that's different. But we have great people that work for us. So, you know, you can't do anything unless you have good people. And luckily, I've got good stakeholders here at Bev's that know how to treat customers, right? Know how to find the products you're looking for and really show you to have a good time.
You can buy beer a lot of places. Why buy it at Bev's? What's different about this shopping experience that people can't get anywhere else?
Yeah, I think the big difference is just the variety that we have. I mean, there are a lot of stores that don't carry the type of products that we have or the variety, the styles of the brand. So if anything, you can get here, you can get any package size, right? Any variety.
Yep.
And the big piece is that there's probably not a beer that we don't sell that you can't find here.
I did see in the cooler
here in Queensbury. I don't know if it's in other locations too, but I'm going to find out. Hetty Topper, which you can really only find mostly if you're in Vermont, but it's here.
It's here. And you know what? And we just talked about that. I don't know how it got here. See, I got to find that out from my people. So that's great. But hey, we had Hetty Topper here. Come get Hetty Topper at Bev's.
Four locations. We're in Queensbury, Malta, Wilton, Saratoga Springs as well. Bev's. Why the name Bev's?
Well, you know, I mean, it's easy,
yep.
Right? It's one word, and it's not a diner, right? It's a place where you can get beverages, Bev's. So that's the name of Bev's. That's how it came about.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about your bills, huh? We got to do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Well, I don't know. What's the big thing in free agency that has stood out to you? Gabe Davis signs elsewhere. The Bills cut some big names in Poyer and White. What has stood out to you and what Buffalo has done so far?
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, the people that they cut needed to be cut. You know, their defensive backs, they didn't have a good year this year. So we know we need to refresh that part of the defensive team. And then as far as receivers, again, we're looking at receivers. You saw what that receiver did in Florida State, right? He wants to come to Buffalo.
Yep.
He wants to catch balls from Josh Allen.
Yep.
So if they can give him some more targets, and then we have got great tight ends, I think we're in for another great season.
Yeah, I've seen mock drafts that have Keon Coleman from Florida State going to you guys late in the first round. That would really be something. Have you seen the news that, and look, we don't talk politics on this show, and we're not going to, but we'll have some fun with it. Have you seen the news that RFK Jr. is looking at Aaron Rodgers as a potential vice presidential candidate? Would you vote for Josh Allen to be president?
Absolutely. I think that's a better ticket. I put Aaron Rodgers on that ticket just to get him out of New York.
Ooh, there you go. You that's
know?
A good
but,
idea.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is all about Aaron Rodgers, right? So another distraction for the New York Jets. Like, don't they want to play football? But right. Yeah, kind of crazy story.
Yeah, it is. Congrats on this.
No, thank you.
Great.
Appreciate you being here.
The thing that I've noticed most from the change over here, so many people know the name Minogue's and it's a great business. The biggest change I've seen here, Jeff, is it's brighter, it's lighter, and the sight lines, really. When you walk in, you can just kind of see everything immediately. It's well signed. You don't have to go digging and searching.
You know, and as we just want to be shopper friendly, right? And obviously, you know, we don't want you to feel overwhelmed when you come in here. So when you have those sight lines and easy to shop, we got big shopping carts, so fill them up, easy to use. So it's just the key is just to have that shopper experience and making sure that you can find what you need.
I love it. So much more to come still on this show. Albany Firewolves are home again this weekend. One game out of first place. We've got the country music superstar Scotty McCreary and head coach Will Brown. It's all next on Honorado and Miller.
Whether you're into lounging, cruising, or just relaxing, summer fun starts with Alpenhaus. Enjoy a smooth ride that'll change the way you boat forever on a Barletta pontoon powered by Mercury Outboard. Nobody makes a more reliable, powerful lineup of outboard motors than Mercury to continue propelling your adventures. Now's the perfect time to buy a new Barletta pontoon with the legendary performance of a Mercury outboard. Alpenhaus, Route 30, Amsterdam, and alpenhausboats.com.
At Marcella's Appliance Center, our commitment is to you, providing essential appliances that families depend on for cooking, refrigeration, cleaning, and sanitation, plus appliance repair. You can have peace of mind that Marcella's is here for you today and every day, like we have been since 1957, helping you make the right choice with trusted brands like Whirlpool, Maytag, KitchenAid, and many more. Shop Marcella's Appliance Center in-store, online, or by phone. We're here for you.
And now, back to Honorado and Miller, sponsored by Alpenhaus.
First time since 2011, I saw St. Rose women's basketball program head to the NCAA tournament. I mean, who else to do it? The guy who's been to the NCAA tournament at the D1 level a number of times, Will Brown, with us here on Honorado and Miller. What's up, Coach?
Not much. You know, excited. You know, looking
forward. Congratulations, man.
No, I appreciate it. You know, thank you for having me on. And I think, you know, everyone here at the college is excited. Obviously, everyone in our program is looking forward to participating in the NCAA tournament. And as you know, this time of year, every team is really good. So it's been a fun ride.
You get in with an at-large. Were you nervously watching the selection show Sunday night?
I'll be honest with you. I was nervous after we got beat in our conference tournament. And then when the updated regional rankings came out a few days later, and I saw that we did not drop. We stayed at 3. I thought of every worst case scenario, and I still knew we would be in. I didn't share that with our players. You know, I told them that we're at the mercy of a committee. Our body of work is outstanding, and they should be proud of it. And I did tell them, like I said to another media outlet, that if we didn't get in, I would drive to Indianapolis and pick it out front. So all kidding aside, I thought we were going to be in. But as you know, it's all about matchups, seeds, the draw. And for us, I thought if we can stay at 3, maybe, you know, not drop below 4, we'd at least get to wear the home uniforms, you know, in the first round. But everyone, like I said, is really good this time of year. Some tremendous coaches, talented players, you know, and they call it March Madness for a reason. And, you know, very happy for the players in our program that they get an opportunity to experience this.
What do you think of the matchup?
You know, it's not a fun matchup. You know, Damon has enjoyed an awful lot of success in the East Coast Conference. They have an All-American point guard who's dynamic. She can dominate a game by herself, and we are going to have to guard her probably different than we've guarded any player all season long. So I think it's a tremendous challenge for our team. We did finish the season ranked number one in the nation in team defense, in the nation in field goal percentage defense. And like I told our players yesterday and today, she's going to get her points no matter what. What we have to do is it can't be an efficient number. It has to be a volume number. And we have to make her take and make contested twos. She does a great job. She hits more than 4 threes per game at 40% clip. And she gets to the free throw line 7 or 8 times a game. So I think if we don't allow her to take rhythm threes and we don't foul her, you know, we'll be okay. But a lot of respect for their program. They've enjoyed nothing but success the last few years. And, you know, again, everyone's good this time of year. We know who we are and we can't waver from that. The reason we're in this position right now is because of our defense and rebounding. If we attempt to go shot for shot with them or any team in this tournament, we'll be out of the tournament. We have to make this game as ugly stylistically as possible. If there was no shot clock, this would be awesome. You know, we try to win 2-0. But, you know, again, our offense comes and goes. But for the most part, this year, our defense has been outstanding. And we're going to need an outstanding effort on Friday if we have any chance to get to Saturday.
Noon tip. Friday, we'll get into the juxtaposition here of the great success that you brought just in a single year and obviously what's going on with the college overall here. But I'm curious, Coach, when we were watching you win so many games at UAlbany, the one thing that always stood out to me just as a fan was how good you were late game situations, drawing something up, especially out of bounds. Maybe not even necessarily – like maybe you had a timeout, but there – out of bounds, there always seemed to be something that you really liked and you knew quickly this is going to work for us, and generally it did. So in those quick moments, I always thought you were so good at that time. Do you like having this much amount of time to prepare? Is there a weird thing where you have like almost too much time?
Yeah, you can have too much time. You know, one of the tough things for us is we lose on a Sunday in the conference tournament. We had to wait a whole week to find out if we were in the NCAA tournament. So I gave our players 2 days off, and then we went 3 days in a row, took a day off, practiced on Selection Sunday, found out we were in Sunday night, and then you have to be careful because you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to prepare. So what we actually did yesterday is all we talked about with our team was Damon's personnel. Mm-hmm. All we went through was player by player, every player in their rotation, talked about them, went into detail, and showed them video highlights of the 9 players in their rotation. And then today we transitioned to some of the things they like to do offensively, and each day will build. I think what we have to be careful of is you want to go into Friday's game feeling really fresh mentally and physically. You know, this isn't checkers. It becomes a chess match. And, you know, I like that opportunity. I'm sure there's many coaches in this tournament that enjoy these opportunities. One of the best things about the women's game now is, you know, under a minute to go, you can call a timeout and advance the ball. So as you just mentioned, now you're talking about sideline out of bounds plays, special situations. You know, that's something that, you know, I experienced with the Patroons a little bit, but not at the Division One, on the Division One men's side. You know, you always had to go the length of the floor. So you had to have something in your back pocket where maybe you throw the ball to midcourt and then call timeout. But you only get so many timeouts. So, you know, it's been fun in that regard. And I do think as you enter this type of tournament, you have to have some tricks up your sleeve. But you better make sure whatever you got in your back pocket or up your sleeve, when you put it on that dry erase board, your players can follow. You know, that's the other thing. You have to cater to your personnel. You know, but this group's been terrific because, again, we don't have a lot of room for error. We're playing six players. We don't win with offense. You know, again, I took the job first week of July, basically, and I was able to really add three players. There are three leading scorers right now. And, you know, there's been no expect for success in this program in darn near 14 years. So for us, getting these players to believe that we can win, that we will win, and really embracing what I felt as a coach that it was going to take to win. And I can't say enough, you know, about our players and how they've embraced me. I definitely have learned more from them than they've learned from me. You know, my assistant, Carly Boland, a local product who has been terrific. And we have a student manager, Fiona Hunt, whose sister's on the team, Kaylee. She's been a great help. You know, it's been a real team effort, but it's been a huge learning experience for me, having never coached on the women's side before. And, you know, people say basketball is basketball. It's not true. You know, you're dealing with different personalities. It is a different game. And I've had to learn on the fly, and they've allowed me to learn on the fly. They've allowed me to make mistakes. I have to be honest with you. Early on, I put some stuff in that I thought looked awesome on paper, that I, you know, would run on the men's side, or I thought would transfer over to the women's side. And I learned quickly, nope, you know, so I was really careful of KYP, really know your personnel and just make sure that you're putting them in that a position where they can succeed. You know, we're not running lob plays and, you know, different things like that. So, but it's been an awesome experience.
Did you see, one thing about any good coach is the ability in themselves to be able to create a winner in short order. But realistically, you had revamped the roster. Like you detailed there, you'd never coached the women's game before. Yeah. Did you see this coming?
No. Let's face it. As human beings, we all have egos. Nobody has bigger egos than coaches and probably athletes. You know, we all think we're the greatest thing since sliced bread. So as much as, you know, I have confidence in my ability and I felt that the group would embrace what we were trying to do, none of them had experienced any success. I inherited a senior class that had not won. I was their third head coach during their coaching career. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Like I said, first time on the women's side. So in our first meeting, what I asked them to do was to just trust me, to embrace what I'm asking them to do. And I told them that we were going to win. I didn't promise them how many games. I didn't promise championships. But I promised the seniors, especially for the first year in their career, they would win and they would go out as winners. And relationships are developed on trust. Mm-hmm. And I asked them to really trust me without knowing me. And again, the players deserve so much credit. And then someone that really deserves the credit for all this is Lori Engtel, who was the athletic director here at St. Rose. I was about to say is. She still should be. She went over to Siena recently. Lori's the one that approached me about this. And no one had ever asked me about, you know, to coach women's basketball before. And then not only did she ask me, she waited patiently for about 4+ weeks. And the president, Marshall White, you know, was nudging me to do this. Lee McElroy, who hired me at the University of Albany, is on the board here at St. Rose. He was pushing me to do this. And then my wife just looked at me one day and said,
"Get out of the house."
Well, now she says that, you know, every day, you know, but she just said to me, you know, why not? We want to stay local. I know she, it was really important to her to watch her baby play his senior year in college here locally. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, I wanted to do that as well, you know. And so I'm glad that everybody pushed me in this direction. But one of the reasons why we've been so successful is because of Lori. You know, she has provided me, within reason, everything that we've needed. And she had told me before we found the school that she would continue to try to help this program grow and develop. It was important to her that the program became a winning program, a successful program. She thought I was the right person for the job. I don't know what made her think that, but, you know, I appreciate her. And, you know, hopefully one day her and I have an opportunity to work again together, because she is a coach's and student athlete / players AD. She gets it.
I love that. And I saw you post on X about Lori getting the opportunity to run her own athletic department. Again, I have no doubt, and I know you don't either, that that is going to happen much sooner rather than later. Let me ask you about this, coaches, and then I will let you go as you get ready for this game. Was there ever a conversation? Did you ever say anything to your players when the news came out that the college itself was going to close at the end of the spring semester? Like, okay, I don't want to call it the last dance, which we all loved, the Jordan Bulls in the 90s, but like, this is it, guys. This is the last, and we've got an opportunity to really go out on a high note. And now beyond that, Will, you've got an opportunity to just kind of, you know, make everybody forget about some of what's going on, be kind of that beacon, if you will, for people to enjoy as they ride out the rest of the college's time.
Yeah, you know, it was a shock to everybody. You know, we were all surprised by the announcement that the college was closing. But like I said to the team, you know, tough people deal with tough times. Adversity is staring you right in the face. It's an opportunity to punch it right in the mouth. And let's control this narrative. You know, let's do something special. Let's get people talking about the College of St. Rose, not because it's closing,
yep,
but because of a group of student athletes, the young ladies that are in our program, how resilient they are, how tough they are, how they're not complaining, they're not whining, all right? They're embracing this opportunity, and let's go out as winners. And here we are, you and I, right now. You know, we're talking about the women's basketball program, you know, at the College of St. Rose. Yes, you have to ask me, you know, about the school closing. And I get it. But you know what's even more special about this group? These kids have been, they're getting recruited while we're playing right now. We played the last 4 or 5 games in a year. I had college coaches from other college programs sitting in the crowd watching our games. I have coaches blowing up my phone, reaching out to our players. Talk about a distraction. Some coaches in our own league, you know, in the handshake line, Hey, nice job. You're a heck of a player. Call me about next year. You know, and our players, they think it's funny because they, what do? They come right to me. Hey, coach, what's up with that coach? She hugged me and said, I'd look great in your uniform next year. You know, so there is no manual for this. It's not, hey, do A, do B, do C. Everything's great. You know, we're learning on the fly, you know, together. And how you deal with adversity often defines your character. And it's so easy to make excuses and to point the finger and say why everything went south. No, we're controlling the narrative. That is not getting in the way of the mission. And this team wants to go as far as they can. Can we win on Friday? There's no doubt we can win on Friday. If we don't win on Friday, nothing else matters. If we win on Friday, can we win on Saturday? Yes. Can we win the East Region? There's no doubt we can win the East Region. But we have very, very little room for error because the lower scoring the game, the better for us. We have to win with defense and rebounding. And, you know, we have to be focused. And this time of year, you got to be good. You got to stay healthy, and you have to have some luck on your side. All I'm asking for is all three. That's it. That's all I want, you know. And I'm trying to, you know, enjoy this as much as possible. You know, myself and my assistant, Carly Bolin, you know, we find out Sunday at like 11 o'clock who we're playing. What do? We go right to the laptop, you know, find Don Damon. And, you know, burning the midnight oil, you know, and we're just trying to give our team every chance to be successful. And then we have to go out and play the games. Funny things happen, you know, this time of year in your favor, sometimes, you know, against you. But really, I've told this team, we have to enjoy this experience. A, we're not just happy to be here. Mm-hmm. If we're just happy to be here, we're not getting on a bus and going out to Bentley. All right. I think this group is so determined because of what happened in the conference tournament. I think they're motivated. I think what happened in the conference tournament is first time ever for this group where there's high expectations, meaning, oh, we're the favorite. And I think we got tight. Yeah. And I think we got nervous. I think we thought they were going to go away. Well, right now, everyone's good. No one's going away. And we're going to embrace that and see where it takes us.
You said a lot of your players are already getting recruited to go somewhere else, and they're being noticed. For anybody who didn't already know, well, people have found out how good of a coach you are, man, at so many different levels. Congrats on the success, dude. I don't get to see as much as I wish I could, but it's been good seeing you here. Thanks for doing the show. Go get them Friday.
Well, I appreciate you covering St. Rose women's basketball and having me on, and you know, all the best to you and your better half. Ms. Deller, I said hello, and hopefully we'll be on next week again talking about how we're charging forward in this tournament. So I'll see you soon, and thanks again, Chris.
Thanks, Will.
I'm Jeff Uglek. I'm owner of Bev's, and we're a beverage center in upstate New York. You're just going to have that wow component when you come in, like, wow, look at this place. It's bright, it's clean. It has everything that I need. Consumer is king. Be able to provide them a friendly environment and a place to shop no matter where they are, whether they're down here in Saratoga or whether they're up in Queensbury. You're always going to get the same experience when you shop at Bev's. At the end of the day, if you walk in these stores, you're going to see a lot of people that have a lot of pride.
The great thing about Novice is no matter who you are, they're going to put all the detail in the world into your brand. I feel like they have been a big part of my success, making me feel comfortable.
This is Harrison Butker, Super Bowl champion kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Claim your crown.
And now, back to Honorado and Miller. Sponsored by Alpen House.
Ash and I were out for her birthday dinner, had a little getaway, and went out for a birthday dinner not that long ago. And we knew the restaurant we were going to, had been told the restaurant we were going to, had a nice wine list. We enjoy Cabernet especially. So we're looking at the wine list, and here's a nice bottle of Silver Oak. And I thought that would be a really nice way to celebrate, wouldn't it? And then I realized I don't have five consecutive number one singles. this bottle of wine is not exactly in my range. So we went for something else. It was still good.
You know, but I confused Silver Oak with Silver Palm. Silver Palm is more our lane. Yeah. And I thought it was Silver Oak, but that's not quite in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. Listen, our guests, we are so fired up for this. And we are more fortunate with the guests we were able to bring on this show than we deserve to be. We've had country music stars like Lee Bryce and Michael Ray and Maddie and Tay and Kip Moore on the show. I'm so fired up for this, Ash. You and I both love his music. Scotty McCreery, a guy who I hope is getting a cut of all the future Silver Oak sales that are out there after his hit song, Cab in a Solo. Let's bring him on to Honorado and Miller now ahead of his performance Saturday night at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady. It is Scotty McCreery. Scotty, it's Chris and Ash up in Albany, New York, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank y'all for having me on. Yeah, and yeah, Silver Oak is definitely, the family was not drinking that growing up, and the guy in the song was down bad. I think he spent weeks worth of paychecks on this bottle. So
yeah. What is it about a solo cup that just kind of works with anything? Maybe not coffee, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I think it's like you said, the cup for everything. I mean, Lord knows I've had my fair share of solo cups on stage, but also in the backyard or, you know, birthday parties. So you never know.
Scotty, before I heard the actual song and I just saw the title, I said to Chris, I said solo in a cab or cab in a solo, because my mind is thinking like you're singing a solo in a taxi cab. I'm not really sure where this is going. And Chris was like, no, no, Cabernet in a solo cup. I'm like, well, now I'll never forget it. And then I heard the song and it all made sense. Your songs take you to very specific points in our lives. And I think that's what music does. Does it do the same for you? Like, do you hear one of your songs and does it transport you back to a certain place and time in your life?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I feel like every year, because nowadays for a single to be on the charts, it takes about a year for it to climb all the way. It didn't used to be that way. But I mean, I'll remember specific times. My first single, you know, Love It This Big was, you know, I think about American Idol and all those memories. But Five More Minutes, I think about, you know, my granddad and the memories we shared together. And This Is It was a song I wrote for me and my wife on our engagement day. And I sang it to her on our wedding. So music, it like you said, it has that power to kind of transport you to another time, another place. And it's a really cool thing.
You're a father. Congratulations. You are going into the Opry, which is, I mean, I can't even imagine. You'll have a mailbox there, which is what Ash and I learned when we did the backstage tour, that every member gets a mailbox, which is really cool. When you've got a guy like Garth Brooks, who's calling you up on stage to tell you you're going into the Opry, what was that moment like for you?
Very surreal. Felt like a dream. I mean, the Opry for me, I've just got so much respect for what they are, what they do, what they have done over the years. It's just the best place to sing in country music, one of the best stages in the country, if not the world. And so, you know, it had always been in the back of my mind, a dream, like, man, one day I would love to become a member here because it means so much to me. But and I thought about it on certain nights before if I was singing, like maybe tonight's the night. But man, that night, it was nowhere on my radar screen. I was singing 3 Christmas songs and I'd be in bed by 9 p.m. Like it was those were my plans. But Garth and the Opry had other plans and it was a special night.
Is that something that's on the bucket list? I know when I watched back the video, you said, I thought about this growing up. Is that something every country music star and hopeful star thinks about, just being a part of that kind of club?
Yeah, you know, I would hope so. I think the Opry, again, has done so much for country music in the early days of kind of just letting people outside of just a small pocket of the country hear the radio signal of these songs and these stories. And all of a sudden, country music kind of grew from there. So I think every artist out there has a love and respect for the Opry. And I know for me, I can't speak for everybody, but it was always a lifelong dream to be a member there.
Did you think I'm going to get the only guy with a deeper voice in country music to introduce me?
You know,
Josh Turner is going to be the guy.
Yeah. Josh Turner is going to do the induction for me. And, you know, he's really become a good friend of mine over the years. And he was such an inspiration for me. Early on, people would compare our voices. And I said, no, my voice might be deep, but Josh Turner's voice is deeper or the deepest. I mean, he's on a whole nother planet. So it'll be a fun night, and I'm honored that he would be willing to do this.
Cool. You see it at the bottom of your screen. Scotty is in town this coming Saturday, March 16th, 7 p.m. at Proctor's. You can still get tickets. If you see us on Sunday, the concert's going to have been over. We may be hungover at that point. I'm taking one of my best girlfriends to see you on Saturday night, Scotty. But your album comes out May 10th, and this is Rise and Fall is your new album. You have a few songs out on the radio already. We heard one of those songs, Can't Pass the Bar, the other day, and I said, ooh, this has a feel of like a little bit of a throwback. It reminded me of, I could come up with McGraw and maybe some old Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
How do you describe this album? Is it a little more of a throwback than some of your music prior to this?
Yeah, you know, I think this record for me, I feel like I'm at a place in my life and career where I'm not, don't want to be chasing trends or sounds. It's like, I want to make a record that just feels good to me and my soul and what I grew up loving and what I want to make. And so we sat down and I told all my buddies who are my, you know, my favorite songwriters, but really just good friends. I said, I want to write a country album. I want to tell country stories. I want to tell my story through songs. So yeah, like Can't Pass the Bar is just a good old fashioned country barn burner. And I've never done one of those songs, but like you said, they're a big part of country music history. So I'm glad I finally get my own on this record.
So many people know the hits. I'll rattle them off here. Five More Minutes, This Is It, In Between, Damn Straight, which I love. The writing in that is awesome. See You Tonight, You Time. I'm a big fan of Feeling It to get the crowd going a little bit at a concert. You mentioned it. You won American Idol in 2011. You were best new artist at the ACMs, what, just a year later than that in 2012. Man, the resume is insane. And you're only 30. Like, do you feel like you've accomplished so much and yet there's still such a long way to go? Where would you put yourself kind of in your career path?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say we're just getting started. I mean, I hope I can do this the rest of my life. And I mean, I know I'll be doing music, whether, you know, five people show up or 5,000, I'll still have the guitar in my hand. But, there has been moments on stage where we'll do like guitar pulls with five different artists and I'm the youngest guy there, but they're all new artists and I'm the veteran on stage. It's like it sometimes those moments are weird, but yeah, it's been a lot of, we've lived a lot of life in the last 13 years of doing this for sure.
It's great.
You said five or 5,000. How about 92,000? We saw you perform ahead of that Nebraska volleyball game in the football stadium. What was that experience like? Because there aren't a lot of artists other than maybe Taylor Swift who play for crowds like that on a nightly basis. But to play in an outdoor venue with almost 100,000 people, what was that like for you?
Yeah, that's not a nightly occurrence for us. But it was unreal. I mean, I think my previous biggest crowd I'd played for, we did a festival with Kenny Chesney in Canada. It had like 75 or 80,000. But 92 is just a whole nother ball game. And those Nebraska fans are just on another level. They love their volleyball. I mean, everybody knew every player's name on the volleyball team. They had their own chants. I'd never seen anything like it. It really got me fired up being there. So I'm not going to lie, I was a little nervous. I was like, all right, they're here for the volleyball. I know they are, but like, are they going to stick around for the concert? And man, I didn't see anybody leave their seats until, you know, almost the concert was done. And it made me feel really, really good. And the crowd was really welcoming to us. So can't wait to get back out there.
You also played before a Patriots game or performed before a Patriots game. You did an MLB stadium tour, which is really, really cool. And that was always on the day of a game, right, Scotty?
Yeah, always. I mean, for me, if I'm going to go, I want to be there and see some baseball. That was my first love growing up. So, yeah, we've been able to do some cool things around sports.
We say, Ash and I say to people all the time who watch this show, we're 90. The number drops a little bit every time I say this, but it was always like we're 98% sports talk is what we mostly are on the show. But we love to dive into the world of entertainment. We get an opportunity to speak with people like you. We jump at it 100%. But when I saw how fervent of a sports fan you are, I'm like, man, I can't wait to talk with this guy now. NC State grad. I know you, Ash, cover your ears. He's a Red Sox and Patriots fan, but also a big Carolina Hurricanes fan. And obviously they've had great success too. What made you the sports fan that you are?
Yeah, I'd say my dad. I mean, he played baseball in college, grew up on a golf course. He's kind of one of those guys that's always ticked me off my whole life because he's you know, upper 50s at this point, but he's still a better basketball player than me. He still beats me on the golf course all the time. He probably, if he wanted to, he just hung up the cleats on the baseball field probably 3 years ago. He could probably still throw faster than me. Like, he was just an athlete. So, but he installed, I mean, he's from up in New England. So that's where the Patriots and Red Sox come from. And baseball and golf are kind of my, were always my loves. So yeah, my pops was the guy.
What course haven't you played yet that you want to?
Oh my goodness. I've been fortunate to play some really amazing courses. I think two that are high on my bucket list. Well, I mean, I can name a ton. The old course in St. Andrews.
Yeah.
You know, Pine. Everybody wants to play Vegas, Pine Valley. You know, you want to get out there. Shinnecock. There's. I could talk golf all day long.
So. All right.
Now, we asked Michael Ray. He's a big golfer too. We asked him. You know, he talked about scheduling. Or no, was it Lee Bryce?
Yeah.
Lee Bryce. Scheduling, you know, his golf in the morning, going back home, taking a hardcore nap, and then going out and performing. Now, with a 1.5-year-old, I don't know how feasible that is, but do you get the opportunity to play while you're touring and when you hit different parts of the country? It has to be pretty convenient if it's not March in northeastern United States or upstate New York.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to try and do a better job this year about waking up and playing golf because, like you said, we get to travel to a lot of cool places we probably wouldn't travel to otherwise if we weren't singing. A lot of times for me, I tell folks I work the night shift. So, I mean, I sleep in pretty late in the morning, so I miss the tea times. And then by the time I wake up, like you said, nowadays, it's helping out the wife and the kids. So don't play as much golf as I used to with him, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
The album is Rise and Fall. It's out May 10th. You can see him at Proctor's on March 16th. Proctors.org, easy way to get tickets. The hit single is Cab in a Solo. Scotty, the credentials are off the charts, man. I do want to point out here, too, because oftentimes when we talk with celebrities, we don't highlight these types of things. The work that Ash and I have seen you doing philanthropically are awesome, man. St. Jude, obviously, is something you support big time. I love RBI, reviving baseball in America's inner cities. Really, really cool thing there. And I know it's a long list, Operation Christmas Child, which I educated myself on. So kudos to you, man, for taking the little bit of time that you have to be able to do some of those things. You could just be a superstar musician. Why involve yourself in some of those things?
I just think it's important. I mean, I grew up, you know, faith has always been a huge part of me. And I mean, obviously 30 years old, I've been tremendously blessed in my life. And I don't think I've been blessed to keep it for myself. You know, I think I've been blessed to bless others. So that's a goal of mine. And we've tried to kind of have that front of mind in everything we do. So, yeah, appreciate that.
I love that.
Well, Scotty, you've been to MVP Arena back in your Idol days. That was an Albany, New York stop. Have you ever been to Proctor's?
I'm not sure I've been to Proctor's.
Okay. Yet, so I'm excited. We're looking forward to having you. It's a beautiful, really old Victorian kind of feeling theater. So it'll be a really cool spot. Awesome. We're pumped to see you. Unfortunately, Chris will miss out, but I'll fill him in on all of the great stuff that happens. And your openers. I'm super excited for Ann Wilson. I've been listening to a lot of her. She seems like a great artist and a really cool person. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, she's great. She's going to be around a long, long time. And yeah, I love those kind of theaters too, because you play the big crowds, you're kind of just pumping out the songs, you know, but when you get these kind of shows, you can tell a little more of the stories behind the songs and kind of chat with the audience some. So that'll be a good night.
It'll be a good place for that. In college, we used to do Franzia Fridays, which was wine in a box, but it went into a solo cup. So I think it qualifies on some level. I'll graduate to Silver Oak at some point.
It can be Scotty, anyone.
Exactly. Scotty, thank you, dude, for giving us all the time you have. And travel safe. And, of course, continued success, man. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me on. We'll see you soon up there.
We're ready to help bring the vacation experience to your own home. With custom-designed Legacy Edition pools, we're confident we can turn your backyard into your own personal oasis. And we'll be by your side through the whole process. Visit our brand new showroom expansion on Route 30 in Amsterdam.
Teams. Athletes. Organizations. We're transforming the custom apparel industry through product and purpose. Claim your crown.
And now, back to Honorado and Miller. Sponsored by Alpen House.
Firewolves are back home this weekend. It's been a nice stretch of home games here, but that means this guy next to me is busy, Jaden Krueger, who's the director of game presentation for this NLL squad in Albany. Man, it's good to meet you. Good to have you on the show. This is an entire experience, this game. When I first came to a game, I was just a fan, and I was like, man, the music never stops. The play never stops, which we know. And then there are all these little things that you kind of have to fill in between, just if there is a dead ball or a timeout or whatever. Have you ever been part of something like this before?
Yeah. You know, I graduated 2021 with a degree in sports and business, and the event and game operations route was the direction I wanted to go in. So kind of fostered those skills a little bit and got my first break working for a hockey team in Georgia, and just got up here for this season. And yeah, it's been a blast so far.
Give me one thing that's happened that you've planned in a game that you're really proud of.
Yeah, I mean, every game we try to do something different. Yep. For Alfie's birthday bash, which was one of the theme nights we had, about 12 mascots on the floor going up against the youth lacrosse team. And I think coordinating all these different organizations to bring out their mascots and play lacrosse on a field in front of fans was a big accomplishment this year. Got to give a big shout out to my game day staff, my DJ, DJ Romantics is awesome. Mike Falvo, our PA announcer, Back Nine Bry, and of course our Wolfpack dance team. With they just make this experience so incredible for the fans, and it's just a blast to watch.
And there's some things that have been done that has kind of become tradition here: Indigenous People Night, recognizing our military members, first responders as well. One thing that I've really gotten hooked on here, and it distracts me as I'm in between the boards trying to do my job, is the Minute to Wing It.
Yeah,
and we've had back-to-back winners now of free wings for a year.
Yeah, and so Recovery Sports Grill, an awesome partner of the Firewolves, they wanted to do something really engaging with the fans and almost kind of like a risk and reward style game. And so after some brainstorming, we landed on Minute to Wing It, where if the Firewolves score in the first minute of the third quarter, a fan can win free wings for an entire year. And everyone seems to really get behind that one. We have had back-to-back winners, so it's very possible, but doesn't always happen at the same time. So you're always on the edge of your seat, just hoping that one gets behind the goalkeeper.
I would liken your job, not exactly, but almost to the job of a referee or an umpire, where somebody might only really notice something if it goes wrong. And there's a lot of timing that's involved here, right? A lot of it is just kind of part of the whole experience. And I don't know that the average fan sits there and thinks about every little detail that would have to go into planning the video on the board or the music or the actual event that they're seeing on the field that isn't gameplay, right?
Yeah, timing can come down to every 15 seconds. I try to have something planned out. You know, the last thing I want, because I'm a big sports fan as well. When I go to a show, I'm looking, you're going as a form of entertainment, you know? Right. I'm going to watch the Firewolves play a game, but when nothing's going on the field, I would like, you know, something to capture my attention. So we plan out during these media timeouts different things to do pre-game. We're trying to play videos and really hype up the game as it's coming up for the fans. So it does involve a lot of timing and a lot of details. But again, I got a great staff behind me, and it makes my job a lot easier.
Who has say over the playlist?
That would actually be it's a combination between me and DJ Romantics. I usually let him take a lot of the lead on the songs. He's very knowledgeable about what he does, and he's been around for a while. He does games for other sports teams also, so I have a lot of confidence in his ability.
Hoping to get a playoff game at home, I bet.
Yeah, fingers crossed, you know, knock on wood, but you never know, and just trying to take it a game at a time. But yes, it would be great to host the first playoff game in organization history, and having that under my belt, of course, it'd be a little bit of pressure.
I was just going to ask you.
I'm built for the pressure.
Okay, I was going to ask you, would you feel like you had to do something different or bigger or better just because it was a playoff game?
Of course, playoffs themselves are bigger and better and more exciting, and so that has to be reflected in the show at the same time. So the excitement needs to be at a 10 the entire game, and the same way that we expect the Firewolves to bring 100% on the floor is the same way that I need to bring 100% every game, and playoffs are something that we're really looking forward to. Again, knock on wood, just got to take it. We're going up against Rochester on Saturday. That's my focus right now to make sure that that game is exactly what we want it to be. And then, you know, we have our retro night on April 6th. And by that time, we should know about the playoff situation.
So you mentioned Saturday night, Rochester, a team that the Firewolves are trying to get a little payback on. But it also means the return of a guy of Connor Fields, who is terrific for the University of Albany here for many years. Do you find ways to tweak him a little bit? Or do you know there are going to be a lot of his fans in the crowd here who watched him at UA? Let's not anger them, too.
Yeah, you know.
And, like, how do you have fun with a guy as he comes back?
Yeah, you know, I let the players do most of the talking. Okay. And I try to do the talking for the fans, and then the fans will do a little bit of talking for me. So I try to keep it off the field as much as possible. It is great that he's returning and playing, you know, in his hometown area, I guess you could say. But I won't try to tweak him too much.
Don't tick him off, that's for sure. We saw how good he can be. Jaden, good luck the rest of the way, man. I hope there's that playoff game. Certainly looks like there should be.
Yeah.
And now I think people will be paying a little more attention to how the in-between stuff is set up to really complement the game itself. Thank you, man.
Hey, thanks so much.
It's March Mania here at Alpenhaus RV. March is full of big games and even bigger savings on new RVs, like this Coachman Catalina for $153 a month, or this Keystone Cougar Sport for only $344 a month. Come in today and shop a full line of America's top brands. Our knowledgeable team of outfitters is here to help you find the perfect RV. Shop online anytime at alpenhausrv.com. Great savings all month long at Alpenhaus RV in Amsterdam and Saratoga.
And now, back to Honorado and Miller. Sponsored by Alpenhaus.
Back inside Bev's now in Queensbury, the grand opening on Thursday. The Malta location will cut the ribbon on Friday. And of course, they also have the Wilton and Saratoga Spring spots as well. All of your adult beverage needs right here at Bev's. Shout out to Scotty McCreary, country music star, for joining us. Will Brown, St. Rose Women's Hoops, and the Albany Firewolves home, 7 o'clock on Saturday night against Rochester, still in the hunt for that number one seed and first place in the NLL playoffs with a few weeks to go now in that season. All right. Hey, speaking of seasons ending, NCAA hoops, but it's really just the peak of it, as we all know, the tournament right around the corner. We are on a special time next week, so we'll be with you Wednesday night at 6:30 to hang out and make our predictions and our picks. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Oh, I got somebody who wants some Jenny Light here. I'm in the way. Please, just push me out of the way next time. The beer is more important than what we're doing here. All right, there you go. I'm set up in a bad spot. What can I say? Nice of that guy to avoid me a little bit. All right. We'll make some predictions on next week's show. The upsets that we like coming out of Selection Sunday, Final Four, and NCAA tournament champ. I will tell you right now, without having seen the brackets, right? They're not out yet. Don't know the matchups. Don't know the draw or the road. But just on the surface, North Carolina is my team. Just on the surface. I have to see. There'll probably be a two. If they win the ACC tournament, you've got to give them a one. But if they end up as a two, I need to see who is the one in their bracket. That's the big thing for me on Selection Sunday. Who stands in the way of North Carolina? Because I like them to win it all before I see the draw. Thanks for hanging out and watching Honorado and Miller, everybody. Wednesday next week at 6:30 across News Channel 13 social media.